Acts chapter 10. Let's take a look over there for just a moment and encourage ourselves again. And as I said, not be discouraged in the midst of the warfare that we find ourselves in. But in fact, just the opposite, encouraged. Because many are the afflictions of the righteous. The enemy is going to come against us. We're a people that are marked. Don't you think for just a moment that we are not a people who are known in the heavenlies. We're not making any boasts. We're not bragging on anything. We're stating a fact that people that will pray, people that will wrestle and war against principalities and powers, people that will choose the word of God and the will of God over circumstances are known in the heavenlies. Rejoice in this, he said, that your names are written in the heavens, praise God. Jesus I know, and Paul I know, and many of us in this room are known. And we need to thank God for it. But we also need to not be dismayed or surprised when Satan doesn't just go, okay, I don't stand a chance, I guess I'll leave them all alone. How many of you know it doesn't work that way? He comes for the word's sake, doesn't he? He comes as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. That's why it's so important that we remain in harmony and unity. That's why it's so important that we hold one another's hands up in prayer. That we bear one another's burdens, praise God. That's also why it's very important that we stay on the offensive. You'll get yourself in trouble if you start coasting. If you start resting. God answers prayer and things are going good. So the next thing you know, well, we're going to take that time back and go play a little game somewhere. And I'm going to go back and I'm not going to get addicted again. I'm just going to play a few games on the thing. You know, I'm not going to do hours. I'm just going to take a few. And the next thing you know, it becomes a few more minutes. And that prayer closet time starting to get robbed again. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand. And having stood, praise God. Hallelujah. Taking the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, praying. Amen. This is not a day for us to be able to rest. We are engaged in spiritual warfare. We've called out the enemy. And we have purpose to destroy him. We have purposed and pledged that he will not take our little ones. And we will have opposition. And so we realize then the necessity of preparing our hearts. And Acts 10 verse 38 we're all very familiar with, but as the scripture speaks to us concerning the ministry of Jesus and his coming, John 10 tells us that the thief has come to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Amen. So we realize that there's a warfare. The thief has come to kill, to steal, to destroy. These things that are on that prayer list, these are people who have been wounded, these darts of the enemy that have been, hurled at us that can only be quenched by the shield of faith. Quenching the fiery darts of the enemy. Bathe yourself in the Word of God. Bathe yourself in the promises of God. Bathe yourself in hours of time in the prayer closet to where we are praying the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. We're throwing up this heavenly canopy, this shield. Having made the declarations of who God said we are. stating what we know to be true in all of these things, we are more than conquerors. Amen? Oh, there are weapons formed against us, but they will not prosper. Hallelujah. Many afflictions, but delivered from them all. Cast down, not forsaken. Hallelujah. And so we realize that as we would come and walk that process out of embracing the cross. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. You know, as I look at that prayer list, even this afternoon in prayer and thinking of many that were on there and thinking of things in my own life as we're warring against these principalities and powers. Oh, I'm very aware of the heat that's been turned up on me. And these things that we're warring against, these principalities and powers. How important it is in this hour, he said, come unto me, you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Amen. There is a rest to the people of God. You tired? You burdened? You getting tired in the warfare? You see, many of us, when we start feeling that weariness, we've gone back to fighting in our own strength. We've gone back to trying to figure out the circumstances, the whys. We've looked for ways that we think God should be moving and look for ways to, you know, engage ourselves in bringing those things to pass. Oh, but beloved, there is a rest for the people of God. It's ceasing from our own labors. Amen? Oh, what a promise. Come unto me if you're weary. Those of you on the list, if you're heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Just come into my presence and begin to rest. Cease from your own labors. Fall into my arms. As we shared in the last couple of sessions, as we were teaching the need to rest in Jesus' intercession for us. There at the right hand of God, at this moment, he never ceases. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, Jesus is praying for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the way I take it is, why there ain't no need for both of us to be awake. Amen. Find that rest. Cease from your own labors. And realize then that God is laboring in our midst. It's He at work in us and through us, the scripture says, to do His good will. And so Acts 10:38 says that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, and He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with Him. Amen? So let's look and break that down for just a moment in our minds. The thief is coming but to kill, steal, and destroy. I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And so we see then this anointing that had come upon Jesus. That same anointing, beloved, we received at the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I want to encourage you in your prayer language. I want to encourage you to pray more in the Spirit. Amen? Paul wasn't just boasting when he said, I thank God that I pray in tongues more than you all. He was trying to give them an understanding of what it meant to be able to stand in that place of victory, to where he could declare to us, follow me as I follow Christ. If the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He will quicken your mortal body. Amen? That's resurrection power. The Holy Ghost praying through you is the Spirit praying with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Holy Spirit praying through you is praying, as we've been taught so many times, the will of God. We know not how to pray as we should. Hallelujah. But the Spirit of God prays through us. And so we want to encourage you that that same anointing is abiding in every one of us. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. Dunamis. Miraculous force against the enemy. Hallelujah. And so we have that residing in us, and we need to come to that place of rest and ceasing from our labors. And just let the Spirit begin to pray through you. Have confidence in the intercessory prayer of Jesus, in the intercessory prayer of the Holy Ghost. As we rest in His presence many times and pray in the Spirit, then we can maybe at times just step aside and just go, yeah, what He said. Hallelujah. See, don't mistake what's happening when you're praying in tongues. That's not you praying. That's the Holy Ghost praying through you. Amen. Think about that. Do you ever feel that your prayers don't avail much? Let me remind you, the Holy Ghost is praying the will of God. Amen? And if you ask anything according to His will, He hears you. Praise God. And if you know that you were heard, you know that you have the petitions that you've desired of Him. Glory to God. What confidence as we find ourselves alone in the prayer closet, quiet, waiting before God. Don't just start off praying in tongues. Get quiet and let the Holy Ghost begin to rise up in you as rivers of living water and gush out of your spirit. This is the refreshing praying in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And so it's the Holy Spirit praying through us with groanings which cannot be uttered. How God anointed Him with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And so we want to talk about that a little bit as we're talking about our ministry. We've been talking about going out into the highways and the byways and compelling people to come in. That word compel is a very strong word. We've shared with you before historically that in the days of Calvin, many of the people perverted that word compel because it's a very strong word in the Greek. It means with force. And so they would actually go out and force people to come to church. You know, it'd be like we'd be sitting here and all of a sudden we'd hear this ruckus and some guys come drug in with two black eyes, you know, and a couple of brothers bringing them in and following the Great Commission. But as we would laugh at that, the reality is that's how strong the word is to compel them to come. Do not take no for an answer. Don't let people turn you away with their first rejection. We've shared it before. As we're moving in the compassion of Jesus, As they reject this great free gift, this unspeakable gift of our redemption, and they reject it and turn away the Lordship of Jesus Christ, it ought to break our hearts. There's times when we ought to be standing before them, weeping uncontrollably, begging them to reconsider and come. That's what that word compel means. And so as we ask, Father, Lord, put these people on our hearts to where we can't sleep if they're not saved. Are we ready to bear that kind of a burden? Do we want that big of a hassle in our lives? Oh, thank God somebody prayed for us. Amen. Compel them to come. Being moved with compassion does not mean having empathy, feeling bad for people. Empathy remains neutral. Compassion is offensive. Compassion involves itself. Compassion does not cross to the other side of the street. It gets involved and it binds up the wounds and it leaves this person in care and is willing to say, and whatever else it costs above this, let me know. I'll take care of it. I'm involved in this soul. Whatever it takes to reach them for Jesus. He's not willing that one perishes. Not willing that one perishes. What are we willing to do to reach out and touch that life? And so as we hear that admonition, the Great Commission, to go, and along with our going, of course, we understand that he said, now I'm going to give you power to be witnesses. We know in Mark 16 that as they went, there are people that didn't just proclaim the good news. They were a people that provided and presented, as they did in the temple site that day, the good news. What I have, I give to you. Amen. These signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall. And so we see then that we're, as we're believing God to visit us here and to prepare us, to give us compassion for our community, for our co-workers. Part of that process is believing for that power to begin to be realized in our lives. The stirring up of those gifts that are in us. The making ourselves available to the Holy Ghost. You know, if you make yourself fully available to Him, He will use you. The Bible says He is looking for someone to use. Amen? His eyes are searching. He wants to demonstrate His power. You know, one of the things we fail to realize as we go in His power, as we go in His presence, as we speak in the authority of His name, He said, I'll be there with you. It is unnatural for God to be present and good things not to happen. Amen? Now, tragically, you know, one of the common things you saw on Sunday night's testimonies was people want to be prayed for. We're all afraid, well, people don't want to be prayed for. People want to be prayed for. You ask people, you want me to pray for you? 90% of the time people say, yeah. Oh, you might get some people that'll turn you away or try to make, you know, something out of it. But people are hurting. It's unnatural for God to be present and good things not to happen. Tragically, sadly, it's in many churches today where God can't do anything. There's been an overfamiliarity. A prophet is not without honor, but among his own people. And tragically, Jesus is able to show himself mighty in most places, but among his own people many times. He went to Nazareth, and there he could not do many mighty works. What? Because of their unbelief. Many people that are out there in the world are not believers, but they're not anti. See, a lot of Christians have been taught not to believe. You find a lot of your reform people, you want to pray for some of them. No, they've been taught that these things have ceased. Don't you? No, I don't believe in that. How tragic, amen? At least old sinners will go, yeah, give her a shot, man. What do I have to lose, right? Hallelujah. That's the folks we're looking for. It's amazing how many pagans, how many unbelievers that you can ask. Do you believe that if I pray for you, God will heal you? Many of them will go, yeah. Pray. Sometimes just don't even give them a chance. Don't even ask them. You know, I've shared that testimony before about that Jewish man, the jeweler that I prayed for, and his mom was dying, and he said, you know, excuse me, he was leaving the counter. We were getting ready to make a transaction, and I just got a call. My mother's in the hospital, and she's dying. They don't expect her to even live until I get there. I said, wait a minute, let me pray for you. God will heal her. And he was, really? And I said, yeah, let's pray. And I took his hand. And I've shared the story many times. Christmas time, places packed out, and I just started praying. I didn't really take to note at that time and put it all together that he was a Jew, but, you know, it's a good percentage if you're dealing with jewelers. But as I prayed for him and just the power, the anointing of God. We might get there tonight about the virtue coming out of Jesus' body, but I don't know. We're not anywhere near where I was going, so we'll just see what happens. And the virtue, you know, when virtue goes out of you, and I finished praying and the man went his way. Satan going about seeking whom he may devour, kill, steal, destroy. And we go out into the highways and byways and people are hurting and they're broken. And we've got the same anointing Jesus had. Amen? And he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And that's what we should be doing. And we should be laying hands on people. We should be casting out devils. And many of us are beginning to do that, amen? And it's going to get better the more you do it. And along with it's going to come persecution and hatred. What an opportunity to suffer for His name's sake. Amen? What a privilege to be identified with Him. And so we have the admonition, go. But as we've been sharing, it's way more than just handing out a tract. It's way more than just trying to get an acquaintance and a friendship evangelism. Nothing wrong with any of those things. But you don't find that in the Scriptures. And in the Scriptures we find very clearly the need for us to come and deal directly with the power of sin and the need for there to be repentance. Amen? The need of representing the Lordship of Jesus and the immediacy of your knee bowing at this time and recognizing Him as Lord and believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that God has raised Him from the dead. Hallelujah. A powerful gospel ministry. The good news. Oh, I'm not talking about just going and preaching hellfire and brimstone. I'm talking about bringing the good news of redemption. Amen? That we've been redeemed from the power of sin. The fact that, these people are not aware that they're under the lordship of Satan. They're under the lordship of sin. And that power can only be broken by the recognition of Jesus having taken it upon Himself. And became the redeemer and the remitter of sins. And how vital it is that they make that declaration. And so as the Spirit's moving us, what we're sharing is to make sure, and we'll deal with it in greater detail as we go on, but we've got to make sure we're not bringing a cheap gospel, an easy believism. As we're bringing to them this great gift of God's mercy and the fact that God is ready to heal and deliver is not the end of this message. Many people want prayer, they want to be healed, they want everything in their life to be smoothed over. And this is God's will for them, as we saw Jesus doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. But oh, how important it is that they understand what it costs God in Isaiah 53 to bring about that deliverance. Both physical, psychological, and spiritual. So as we become bold, realize that the healing and this boldness to go pray for the sick is only a small portion of that message we have to bring them. God wants to heal unbelievers. He wants to heal. He'll heal all of these people that are out there that are, you know, the drug addicts and the prostitutes and the homosexuals. God will show Himself mighty. It is unnatural for God to be present and good things not to happen. God can't help Himself. He's Jehovah Rapha. Amen? He is Jehovah Jireh. He just can't help himself. He is Jehovah Shalom. And we become those visible representatives of that goodness, of that grace, that power of God. We become those ambassadors. We represent with our own lives. That's why it's so vital for you to share your own testimony. You know, one of the great things, and we lose the simplicity of it, but as we're out and about and we're sharing this gospel and the goodness of God, and then we share what He's done in our lives. Amen? And we need to fulfill that aspect of Andrew and the message. I have this, the little sermon notes in a display case in my office with the first Bible that I had just as testimonials. And it actually blessed me. I hadn't really thought about it, but it actually blessed me. I went back and it was the first time I ever preached a message. The first message of my ministry was entitled "Come and See." It was about soul winning. It was about missions. It came out of a young man's heart that was so thankful. For those who had shared with me. We found the answer. We found the answer. I remember reading on a bathroom wall at a truck stop somewhere. And it said, "Jesus is the answer." And somebody else wrote under it, "What's the question?" I didn't take time to write on the wall. I should have. And what I would have written was, "It doesn't matter. Jesus is the answer. Praise God." So I want to encourage us in our admonition to go into all the world that compulsion, the thing that comes from that time in the presence of God, that thankful heart, is the inability to keep to ourselves what God has done in our lives. We cannot help but speak the things that we have seen and heard. Amen? You got to come and see this. "Once I was blind and now I see." You got to come. You got to come and see this. You got to come and be a part of this. And we're not just admonishing people to come to Jesus, we're admonishing people to come into the church. You know, one of the great problems, and I don't want to get off on this today, but as we look in the church today, the great problem we have is this misunderstanding of what the church really is and its purpose. The ecclesia, this community that we're not to forsake. And even more as you see the day approaching. Amen. Too many of us are passive when we talk to people and they say, yeah, I'm a Christian. Well, where are you fellowshipping? Well, I go to this church over there. Really? Yeah. Who's your pastor? Or they'll go and as you talk to them, they no longer have a Wednesday night or a Sunday night service. And I'm always quick to say, really? Do you believe that Jesus is coming back soon? Do you believe He's coming for a church that's without spot or wrinkle? Do you understand that those that have this hope are purifying themselves? Do you realize that this is part of why the community gathers? Do you realize that Jesus said that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together? Hey man, if you're being left hanging out there, you need to know something. We've got opportunities on Monday nights and Tuesday nights and Wednesday nights and Thursday nights. There's an opportunity to obey the Word of God that you're not availing yourself of. You need to come and be a part of this. You're not going to be ready for God. If you're lacking this kind of preparation and obedience to the Scriptures. Just wanting to encourage you to realize that the church is not all those buildings out there that people attend. Or certain denominations or organizations. We're living in an hour when I believe that God wants to add to the church, and it's not only converts. I believe people are going to begin to commune together as these end times come upon us. True believers, and they're going to be coming out of different areas to come together, a commonness under the authority of the Word of God, the Lordship of Jesus. People who do not doctrinally hold to the gifts of the Spirit now are going to cry out for the reality of God's Spirit, and people that can pray the prayer of faith and to see the miraculous and the power of the Spirit of God through signs and wonders to be able to sustain us in this last hour. Our job is to go out there and let people know that's available. And so I want to encourage us in that and to just realize that one of the great demonic effects on the church in these last decades has been the overemphasis and misunderstanding of what is called the universal church. And so anything that hangs a cross or calls himself Christian it's the same spirit and the same message of political tolerance. In the secular realm, it's the message of tolerance. In the church realm, it's the misunderstanding and misapplication of unity. Two cannot walk together except they be agreed. Amen? The Scripture says clearly, as we look in Ephesians, we see that the church as it comes, it's the Spirit of God that's bringing us into the oneness of the Lordship of Jesus. As I said, as I've wandered off of the message I had prepared for us tonight, it's something that, you know, we've gotta get away from the fact we're not doctors. We don't have an ethical responsibility. One of the things that's going to come upon us, one of the first things, and it's actually already starting to manifest itself. In one of our outreaches, in one of our ministries, we just received word, it's in one of the jail outreaches, that in essence, they're basically saying, well, we'll allow you all to come, but we don't want any proselytizing. Now, what they mean by proselytizing is this. We don't want people, you can teach the Bible, but just don't tell people they have to do it. Don't put pressure on them. Don't try to take them out of their application and belief system. Just teach the letter and let everybody be alone. Leave people alone. And we're already being asked to do that. And of course, we're not going to. We'll find ways to present the gospel as long as we can in a way that's tolerable to them. We'll try to be as wise as serpents and harmless as doves. We want to stay in there as long as we can. Reach as many as we can. But we're dealing with that spirit. And I'm just saying all of that to say this and to end with it tonight. You don't have to tell people, you know, your denomination stinks, man. You know, we're not talking about that. We're talking about just saying, you're a Christian? Yeah. You know, and we like to know, where do you fellowship? And that lets us know, are they profess spirit-filled people? Are they fundamentalists? You know, are they reform? Where are they? Well, I go here and there and so what is it that y'all believe? You know, what do you believe concerning, the Lordship of Jesus? What do you believe about the ministry of the Holy Spirit today in the church? What do you believe about the second coming of Christ? Now, tragically, 95% of the people that profess to be Christians, if you ask those questions, they don't know what they believe about those things. So then we get an opportunity to share with them what the Bible says. Well, you know, the Bible says this. Is this what you all believe? Well, I'm not sure. Well, why don't you go back and check? Because don't you want to be somewhere where the Bible's being taught? Well, yeah. Don't you believe that the Bible is the Word of God? Yeah. Bible's the Word of God. They don't know it, don't do it. But we bring them this authority. And I've seen in our midst a hesitancy to encourage people. To actively seek more of what God has available to them. And don't be embarrassed. Share your testimony. I know many of you have. Hey, I used to be a Catholic. Well, I'm a Catholic. Well, here's why I'm not one anymore. We don't attack the Catholic Church. We just say, here's why I'm not. And we begin to share with them. Once I was blind and now I see. Here's what God's done for me. Why don't you come and see? Why don't you just come and, what do you have to lose? Why don't you just come and try it out? Come and see if God's not really hanging out. Come and see for yourself the miracles that God's doing in our midst. Come believing God for a miracle. Do you understand what inviting people to come and believe God for a miracle does? It brings people coming in here with expectation. It creates in us an expectation. Our faith rises to the occasion of these needs. Come and see. Father, we thank you tonight for your word to us, and we just ask that as you've worked among us and you're working in our lives, that some of these practical things that might become areas of misapplication or misunderstanding, Father, that we would see clearly the responsibility that we have as ambassadors to bring a pure, dynamic, full message of a personal cross, of a free gift. Of a soon coming Lord. That we make no apologies of inviting people to come and see the reality of the resurrected Christ in opposition to religious form. Give us wisdom, help us to move in love. But Father, I ask you to work a militancy in us. Because those people that are trapped in religion are as bound and maybe greater than those on drugs and drink and sexual perversion. Compel them to come that my house might be full. Not this building, not this local fellowship, the church. Oh, we thank you for those that you'll bring here, Father, and those that we can care for and disciple, but that your church might be filled. That remnant might be ingathered. The context, Father, of that passage in John 10, of the thief coming to kill, steal, and destroy, the context is of coming in another door, another way. More people are killed and destroyed by false doctrine. Held in bondage by false doctrine and religion. And you've come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Help us to be careful with this message, we ask, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Turn to somebody next to you and say, compel them to come. Praise God. Amen. Go in peace. God's love go with you.